Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Shabbat Shalom. I am very pleased to be here with you and to worship our awesome, beautiful God. It's a privilege to hear how our children are praising the Lord. And it was good to see how people, young people, were dedicating their life to God through baptism. And so I am glad to worship with you this morning. I am here in Rwanda for the second time. For the first time, I was here 20 years ago. And I can see the big difference between what was then and what is now. And I liked and loved my stay here for this 1 week. I know you had also very moving history yesterday when we were visiting the Genocide Museum. It was really a very, very sad moment. But we know that we are serving God, who is above all, and He can heal us in spite of all these atrocities which happened. Let me tell you that I always love to come to Africa, and I love African proverbs. And I have to tell you that three proverbs are the best for me. I like the most. The first one is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I like that. The second one is also very known. It takes a village to raise a child. And I would say, it takes a good university, like Adventist University of Central Africa, to raise, to educate young people. Amen? And the third proverb I like the most is, if you think you are too small to make a difference, try spending a night with a mosquito. This is beautiful. And I am glad that I can be here with you and to study the Word of God. So, I would like to study the Gospel according to Moses with you. Ready? Ready to study? All right, if we are ready, I have a first question for you. Tell me. You know that God brought Israel out of Egypt, right? They were slaves there, and then they were going to be free. And my question is, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, where did He bring them? When God brought Israel out of Egypt, where did He bring them? So speak to me. Okay, where? This is an easy question, right? Okay, to Mount Sinai, to wilderness, to the promised land. Let me tell you that this is, theologically speaking, a wrong answer. Geologically and geographically, according to the place, yeah, this is good. But theologically, wrong. Why it is wrong? Well, let's open now the Gospel according to Moses, according to the book of Exodus, in chapter 19. And then I will read to you what God said to Moses. Let's read verse 4. You yourself, you people of Israel, you have seen what I did to Egypt. So what they saw? Well, they saw how God defeated Egyptian gods, how God opened the Red Sea. And then they saw how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to Mount Sinai, right? And brought you to the wilderness, and brought you to the promised land. No! And brought you to myself. You know, our God we are serving is God of relationship. He's not God of agenda. He is bringing us to different places in order to bring us to himself to that intimate, close, personal relationship. Even Jesus Christ said, when I will be lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself. So this is very important. You know, God, everything what he is doing, he wants to bring us to this close personal relationship. It's not about agendas, about places. It's about relationship with him. Well, we don't have now time to study how God was leading the whole nation Israel to come closer to Jesus, to God. So I would like to study now how God was bringing Moses closer to himself. Ready? So, but I don't want to preach about Moses. I want to preach about God of Moses, what he can do when we let him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us. We are here to hear your voice. So let the voice of your word and your spirit is powerful in our lives. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So now I have a second question for you. Tell me if I am right or wrong. You know that Moses was called by God when they was brought to Mount Sinai to go up to Mount Sinai. So Moses went up, and when he was going down, his face was radiant. His face was shining. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Please. And I have to tell you that this is wrong. And I would like to prove it to you. So let's open now again this gospel according to Exodus chapter 19, and let's read verse 3. Then Moses went up to God. So he is going up to the Mount Sinai, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, and now you can read how he is telling him that he will establish a beautiful personal relationship and covenant with his people, that they will be his holy nations. It will be a priesthood of a kingdom, and they will be a special people for him. And then when you go to verse 7, you read that Moses went back and he told everything to God's people, and they said, well, everything the Lord said, we will do. And then you read in verse 8, so Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. So he's now going for the second time to Mount Sinai, and you need to read till like verse 13 to know what God told him. And then in verse 14 you read, after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them. So now it is already twice. Was his face shining? No one word. Twice in the with the Lord going down, no shining face. No, let's go to now verse 20 of the chapter 19. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. For how many times now? For the third time. And now you have to read till the end of the chapter to know what God told him when he was there for the third time. And then we read verse 25. So Moses went down to the people and told them, is his face shining? Yes or no? No, his face is not shining. So you know that one day the face of Moses will be shining. So we need to now reflect very important question. What was it in the life of Moses that brought this change? That his face one day will be really shining, will be radiant. What was it? You know, I think that so far, to that moment, you thought that Moses' face was radiant. Why? Because he was in the presence of the Lord. Right? You were thinking like that. I was also thinking before I study carefully the Bible. Well, you see that it is not like that, because he was already three times in the presence of the Lord and his face was not shining. So then in chapter 20, we read that God is now speaking himself to the people of Israel and is giving them 10, what we call 10 commandments. I call them 10 promises of God. God is promising them what he will do for them if they will stay in that right relationship with him. And God is speaking. There was shaking, earthquake. There was music. There was darkness. There was lightning. It was a great, great occasion. And when people were going through all of this experience, they were afraid and they were coming to Moses. And you can read in verse 19, they said, Moses, please, you speak to us, not God, because if God will continue to speak, we will die. And in verse 20, Moses is responding to people and said, well, do not be afraid. God has come to test you. What does it mean when God is coming to test us? When God is coming to test us, what better word we can use now here that we can understand? God wants to teach us, right? To educate us, to help us to grow. So yes, Moses is saying, well, God came here down to help you, to educate you, to help you to grow, that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. And then we read in verse 21, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. So now Moses is going for the fourth time to meet with the Lord. And this time you have to go through the rest of chapter 20, then 21, 22, and 23. Long passage, what God told to Moses when he was there for the fourth time. He was like, God was telling him how to apply these 10 commandments, these 10 promises in the real life. This is a social code God is giving him. And then in the beginning of chapter 24, in verse 3, we read that Moses went down and told the people all the Lord's words and laws. And again, when people heard that, they said in one voice, everything the Lord said, we will do. And then you have a beautiful ceremony how God is renewing a covenant with them. There is a sacrifice, there is a blood, sprinkling of the blood, which was like a sealing of the covenant with that blood. There is a writing, there is a book of the covenant written. Everything is sealed, beautiful, and people now for the third time saying, everything the Lord said, we will do. You know that after a few weeks later, they were actually not doing it. So what was wrong with that statement? Everything what the Lord said, we will do. I have 5 children. And when I said something to my children, and they say, Daddy, everything you said, we will do. Oh, I will rejoice. This is beautiful, right? So what was wrong with that? That here now people are saying everything the Lord said, we will do. You know, the wrong thing is that we will do. What would be the right thing to say? Everything the Lord said, we will do by God's grace. We will do with his help. And this is what God wanted. Not we, but let God be the Lord of our life, that He can help us to do this, that He will be the Lord of our life. Well, then, if you go with me to verse 9, you read that Moses is now going again to Mount Sinai. This time is going for what time? For the fifth time, right? For the fifth time. But he is not going alone. Who is going with him? Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 elders. So imagine now, company of 74 people are going on to Mount Sinai. This is a quite steep and demanding climb. I climbed that several times in my life, and they were now going up, 74 people. And we read twice that this 74 people, when they were up, they saw God of Israel. Twice it is stated here in verse 10 and then in verse 11. They saw God of Israel. Of course, they saw Jesus Christ, who was communicating with them. And what is very interesting is that they also saw the throne of God. And they, at the end we read, they saw God and they ate and drank. I don't know who prepared that banquet on this Mount Sinai. I don't imagine that these elders had a backpacks with the food and going up. I think that it was the Lord Himself who prepared this banquet for them. And this, eating together was like a sealing of the covenant. Well, beautiful occasion. But let me now ask you a question. We read that Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders went together to Mount Sinai. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? Do you know the story with them? Nadab and Abihu were sons of Aaron. They were priests. And what happened to them? Were their faces radiant? Were their faces shining? We know that after a few weeks, they were actually dead in the sanctuary. Because now they took it as a pretext. Oh, we were with the Lord. We can do whatever we want. You know, they took the privilege of knowing God to now dictate what is right and what is wrong. And this is very dangerous for us, right? When we know the Lord, we need to follow what He says and not now be privileged, be proud, and I can now decide what is right and wrong, right? No, you need to humbly walk with the Lord. This is why, as we know, their faces were pale because they were dead in the sanctuary. So you see, it is not so simple to be in the presence of the Lord and to walk correctly. You need to walk rightly and humbly with the Lord. Well, if we continue now reading in that gospel according to Exodus, gospel according to Moses, in the rest of chapter 24, you read that now God is saying, Moses, you and only you, please come and come now closer to me. And you can read that Moses is going up to that mountain. The cloud is covering, and this presence of God was so intense that he could not move even. And he was staying there for several days. We read that 6 days the cloud covered the mountain. And on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. And verse 18, then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain. And he stayed how long with the Lord? 40 days and 40 nights. If you pay attention so far, what you were reading in the Bible, you will see the movement. You will see that first Moses was going up to the mountain. Then he was going to the top of the mountain. Then he was going to approach the cloud in which God was residing. But now you read that he is actually even entering the cloud where God was. Wow! And he is now staying with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. And during that time, God was giving him two beautiful gifts. One gift is that he is giving him blueprint how to build the sanctuary, because God wants to live in the midst of his people. And then God also is giving him the Decalogue, two table of stones with these 10 promises, with the 10 commandments. And then after 40 days and 40 nights spending with the Lord, Moses is going down. My question is again, is his face shining? 40 days, 40 nights, yes or no? You are very careful now what to say, right? But yes or no? And the answer is no. Even spending 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord, his face is not yet shining. On the contrary, when he's going down, now you need to go with me through all these chapters, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30 and 39. This is all what happened when he was there with the Lord for the fifth time. And now he's going down. Chapter 32, look to verse 19. 32, verse 19. When Moses approached the camp, he saw what? He saw how people made a golden calf, and they were now dancing around the golden calf, and they were, doing plenty of immoralities. So his anger burned, and he took this precious gift God gave him, the two tablets of stone, and with it, that he break them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. So you see, when he saw things, his face was not shining. On the contrary, his face was burning with anger. You know, God did not told him that he had to take this precious gift, the Decalogue, and smash it on the mountain. Of course, it was like the external, visible act what they did it, because they broke the relationship with God. But God did not told him to do it. Later on, God very slightly rebuked him. Because then later on he's telling him, you broke this tablet. Now you will need to chisel it and bring it up, and I will write it down again. Very interesting. So now you know that when Moses went down, and was plenty of immorality, this idolatry in the camp. So there was also plenty of death. And you read in the chapter 32 in verse 30. The next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." And in verse 31 we read, "So Moses went back to the Lord and..." So Moses went back to the Lord. For how many times now he's going to the Lord? For the sixth time. For the sixth time. And now he is praying and saying, "Oh Lord, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now please forgive their sin." What a beautiful prayer. Please forgive. Moses is interceding for sinners. how we should intercede for sinners too, right? And now we read that he's even saying, you know, please forgive their sins, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. Moses is even willing to give, sacrifice his own life for sinners. No wonder that Moses is a type for Jesus Christ. His life was not needed to be sacrificed, but Jesus sacrificed even his life for us, for sinners. God is really the one who is for us and not and never against us. So he's praying to God, please forgive their sins. What would be in our churches if somebody would do something wrong and we will pray the same prayer for these people as Moses? What a beautiful attitude we will show, right? They do something wrong and we will be like Moses praying, please Lord, forgive them. Help them to repent. Help them to repent and be willing to really sacrifice for these people. All right, so now it is not written here, but in the book of Deuteronomy, it stated that this time again, Moses stayed when he was for the sixth time with the Lord for how many days and nights? For 40 days and 40 nights. And after praying for sinners, willing to give his life for them, he is going down. Is his face shining? Yes or no? Yes or no? You are now very, very careful to answer. After 40 days, again, for the second time spending with the Lord, he's praying, offering his life. Is his face shining? And the answer is, not yet. Wow. Even though such a big offer, and his face is not shining. Well, now if you go with me to chapter 33, you will read that God this time is telling to Moses, if I would say it in my words, and Moses, you don't need always to come to me to meet on the Mount Sinai. Just build a tent of meeting, and we will meet there. Don't confuse this tent of meeting with the tabernacle, which will be later built. Tabernacle will be in the center of the camp, but this tent of meeting was outside of the camp. And Moses was always going there to meet with the Lord. Well, let me tell you that I don't know how many times Moses was meeting in the tent of meeting with the Lord. If it was 10 times, 15 times, or 40 times, I don't know. But one thing I know, what is that? That when Moses and the Lord was going forth and back, they became friends. How do I know? If you go with me to that chapter 33, to verse 11, you will read, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speak with his friend, with his friend. So Moses and Jesus are now friends together. And who is the friend? Friend is a person whom you can tell everything and he will still love you, always love you, and he will never reveal your secrets. It will be with that friend. And Jesus Christ is more than a human friend. You can always walk with him, tell him everything, and he will be always for you, never against you. And one day when Moses was in that tent of meeting with the Lord, he now was struck. He realized that he does not know the Lord. More he knew the Lord, more he now realized that he does not know him. Look what he is praying. And go with me to verse 13 of the chapter 33. And he's praying, if you are pleased with me, Lord, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. If you are pleased with me, teach me. No wonder that Moses is called the most humble man in this world, right? You know this text. A humble man doesn't mean that he's sitting somewhere in the corner. Humble man can be a great leader, powerful leader like Moses was. And you can be still humble. Why? Why he was humble? Because he was teachable. He knows that he does not know everything. And more he knows the Lord, he realizes that he does not know him. But so far, God knew God in a powerful way. When he was in the wilderness, he wrote two books, right? The book of Job and Genesis. He was called by God to lead Israel out of Egypt. And you know, all these miracles happened. Then God spoke on Mount Sinai. The Red Sea opened. Everything was beautiful. And now he is realizing, Lord, I really do not know you. I know you, but I don't know you. I need to know you more, who you really are. And this is why he's now asking the Lord, please, in verse 18, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And when he's asking that, for what he's asking, show me your glory. What is God's glory? What is God's glory? God's glory is God's character, right? And so when Moses is now asking, show me your glory, then God is responding, yes, all right, I will show you my glory. But in reality, if you go to verse 19, what God was telling him, I will cause all my, what is there? All my goodness to walk before you. You see, God's glory is God's goodness. God's glory is God's character. God's glory is God's goodness. God's goodness, God's love, this is who is God. And God is telling you, yes, I will show you my goodness. I will show you my character, who I am. And then in chapter 34, you can read that the Lord said to Moses, yes, now chisel this two stone tablets like the first one, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablet, which you broke. And be ready in the morning to come again to Mount Sinai. So we read in verse 4, so Moses chiseled out the stone tablets like the first one and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning. For how many times now is going up to the Mount Sinai? For how many times? For the seventh time, right? For the seventh time. And now when he's on Mount Sinai, God is coming and revealing himself to him. And what God is telling him is the best self-revelation of God in the whole Bible. God himself is telling you and me who he is. And the text we were reading in the beginning of our worship was taken from this chapter, chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. And I now wish I could have 1 week to go with you by each word and show you the beauty of what God is telling to Moses about himself. I call this text Exodus 34, 6 and 7, John 3:16 of the Old Testament. John 3:16 of the Old Testament. So you need to know it by heart. Because if people are asking you, who is your God? You can quote by God. This is the best answer. Who is the Lord? And many prophets and writers in the Bible, they were repeating after God and explaining what does it mean. So what God is saying about himself, I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. It means this Lord who is intimate, close, personal, God of relationship, is a God of the covenant, God of his people. And who is that Yahweh, this God? He's a compassionate God. Compassio, this is, in our language, English language, and this is like in the Hebrew. Compassio means that this God is suffering with us. When people of Rwanda were killed, God was suffering with them. God was on the side of those who were killed, always on the side of those who were persecuted. And he's not only compassionate, but he's also gracious. Gracious God who is giving grace, what we don't deserve, he's giving us. He's slow to anger, it means he's patient. It is not only love, but he's abounding in love. And he's always faithful, maintaining love to thousands of generations and forgiving all our sins we confess. We read here, he forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin. But he's also a just God. Praise the Lord that he is just. He will not leave the guilty unpunished. When I was yesterday in the genocide memorial, I was just telling your rector, you know, I am praising the Lord that he is not only the Lord of love, not only love, God of truth, but he's also God of justice. This is the justice, this is not in our hands, it is in God's hands. And he will do it in his time. I am praising him. It's very important that we have this beautiful God who is everything for us, what we really need. Well, now we read in verse 28 that Moses stayed with the Lord when he was now there for the seventh time. Again, 40 days and 40 nights for the third time, 40 days and 40 nights. And now he is going down. Is his face shining? Yes or no? Yes or no? Are you sure? And this is correct. Yes. Finally, his face is shining. Question for you. Did Moses know that his face is shining? No, he didn't know. You know, people who are shining, they do not know that they are shining. If you think that you are shining and you are showing to everybody, oh, I am the best, forget it. I know that you are very far from the Lord. I can give you examples, but our time is gone. How, you know, people came even to me saying, well, Pastor, we are perfect. If everybody will be like us in the church, it will be a paradise. And when you are listening to them, they were full of themselves, but not of the Lord. Well, so now we go back to our previous question. What was it in the life of Moses that his face was now radiant, that his face was shining? What was it? You know that it was not that he came into the presence of the Lord, because he was there before and his face was not shining. You know, it is not enough to come to the presence of the Lord. It is important to come into the presence of the Lord in order that our faces can shine. But it is not enough to come into the presence of the Lord. Do you agree with me? You know, I was pastoring in Europe. Let me give you one or two examples. And I know that in my churches, whereas the people who are coming to the presence of the Lord Sabbath after Sabbath, and they were always the same. always criticizing others, you know, saying something about young people here and there, about pastors, about elders, and you were not feeling good in their presence. Always criticizing and coming to the presence of the Lord Sabbath after Sabbath. I had even in one church when I was pastoring two families which were not talking to each other. I was there for 5 years and they were not talking to each other even though I tried very hard. Well, Pastor, I don't think that you have people like that here in Rwanda. It is only there, you know, far away. But only when I was giving my farewell sermon, these two families were reconciled. Praise the Lord. But you know, coming to the presence of the Lord, sitting not far away from each other, and you are always the same. This story about the God of Moses, how God was leading Moses, is telling us that we need to let God to be God in our life. This God of Moses wants to do something in us. He wants that his goodness, as he was experiencing at the end of his journey here, when he was going forth and back, when he was in the staying in Mount Sinai, he now realized that God is full of love, joy, patience, faithfulness, truth and justice. And he opened to God as a flower to the sunshine. And this is what we and I need to do every day. Amen? We need to allow God to change and transform our lives. Amen? It's not enough to come into the presence of the Lord. We need to let God now to influence us, to change our thinking, our feelings, our imagination, our goals, everything, what we are, what we do. Our motives will be different, you know, and everything in life will be different when we let God to be God, to transform our lives. In conclusion, let me remind you how Apostle Paul was applying this story about Moses when he is speaking to Corinthians. In the 2 Corinthians, in that letter, in chapter 3, Apostle Paul is reflecting on that story about the veiling face of Moses. And he says, well, now we don't have this veil. We can have direct access to Jesus. And we see his glory. We see his beauty of the character. And at the end of the chapter, in verse 18, he says, and now we Christians, what do we have? We now, who with unveiled faces reflect what? Reflect the glory of Jesus, reflect the character of Jesus, because we are looking to Jesus Christ, to his face. So now we are reflecting this beauty of God in our life. As Jesus is, as God is, now we are becoming. As God is loving, we are becoming loving. As he is forgiving, we are becoming forgiving. When he is merciful, we are merciful. As he is serving, we are serving. As he is unselfish, we are becoming unselfish. And we can continue. Who is God? We are becoming. And how it is done? Gradually. Gradually, we read, yes, we are transformed, you see, by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God, by the power of His grace. So we read here, yes, we are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory. You know, we should be like moon. Moon, you know, reflects the beauty, the sunshine of the sun. And this is what we need to be. And there was one son and father who were in the gloomy day. It was a dark day. They were going in one European city through the streets. And there was a raining day, very dark day. And so the son saw the beautiful cathedral. So the son said, "Well, Daddy, I would like to see what is inside the cathedral." So they entered inside, and then were these beautiful windows, right? These big windows with the paintings. So they were going by one by one. And then in one painting, when they were there, suddenly the sunshine was outside and was going through this beautiful painting on the window. And there was sunshine, there was beautiful light there. And now this imagery was in the mind of this boy, and he's asking, "Daddy, tell me, who are these people?" But dad was not much informed. So he said only, "You know, these people are Christians." And this, imagery was now in the mind of that small boy. And later on, a few days later, the teacher was asking these kids, the little children, "Do you know who are Christians? Do you know who are Christians?" And this boy was now remembering that entrance to the cathedral and how he saw that picture. And he says, "Yes, teacher, I know. So who are Christians?" And he said, "Christians are shining people." Amen? Christians are shining people. And do you know that there are two kinds of lights? There is a cold light and there is a warm light. You know, if you have on the meadow this lightning box, you have it also here, right? Lightning box. And if you catch it, and I, as a small boy, catch many of them, this box is not hurting you because it's a cold light. But the light from the bulbs, light of the fire, light of the sun, is a warm light. What we, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, what kind of light we are giving? Is it a cold light or warm light? Are we warming people with who we are and what we do and what we say? You know, Jesus Christ said, "Let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So may this story about the God of Moses, how this God of Moses was changing, transforming Moses, how this God of Moses was leading the whole Israel to himself, is helping us that we can also grow. As Moses needed to grow, we also grow every day that we come into the presence of the Lord and we open up and we pray, "Please, Lord, be King of my life. Be Lord of my life. Change me, transform me, that I can reflect the beauty of your holy character, the beauty of your character of love." Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.